WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The freewheeling Norwegian film Reprise is about two budding novelists whose pipe dreams of cult stardom crash into the realities of growing up. The movie, the feature film debut of 34-year-old Joachim Trier, played to rave reviews at the Sundance and Toronto film festivals. It opens today in New York and Los Angeles with a national rollout to follow. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
At a screening in New York of Joachim Trier's marvelous film Reprise, Trier mentioned that one of his greatest influences is Annie Hall. On the surface, Reprise is nothing like that Woody Allen comedy, but there is a connection. When it came out, Annie Hall was the perfect expression of Allen's sensibility, essentially a stand-up routine with flashbacks and free associations and jokes that exploded the realistic surface, yet somehow deepened the emotion. In Reprise, the two male protagonists are 20-somethings who've written first novels, and in the opening, they go together to a mailbox and drop in their manuscripts. The film that follows has the spirit of a rambunctious first novel. It's a weave of memory, fantasy, digression, and wry narration. But the trickiness doesn't distance you, because Reprise, like Annie Hall, has a core of feeling. It's as if you're pinging around the hero's imaginations, darting in and out of the real world. After Philip, played by Anders Danielsen Lee, and Eric, played by Espen Klumen Hoyner, mail off their work, the narrator spins a fantasy of what they expect to happen with quick illustrations. They'll be published to commercial indifference, but cult success. They'll struggle with celebrity. One will run off to Paris and have a tragic love affair with a gorgeous depressive. Finally, after a separation, they'll bump into each other at a cafe and collaborate on a novel that inspires a revolution in Africa. What actually happens is not quite that. Philip's book is accepted right away, but bouts of mania and depression and an affair with a student named Carrie, played by Victoria Vinge, sends him to a mental hospital for 6 months. Eric's novel is rejected, but after a rewrite, he's inducted into a world of madly pretentious and ambitious authors and editors. Broadly, Reprise is a coming-of-age story in the mode of Barry Levinson's Diner. It tracks Philip and Eric and a few of their pals as they stagger into a world that can't be adapted to suit their male adolescent expectations, especially in regard to women. But the movie's content is inseparable from its voice. When a man jogs by them in a park, we get a digression on that stranger's sad relationships. We don't see the face of Eric's girlfriend, whom he takes for granted, until she breaks up with him for being a cliché and suddenly becomes real. Reprise skips along, but when it stops, because these are Scandinavians, and it's not in their character to pirouette on the surface. Eric, who's gangly and earnest, tries to pull his morose friend out of the depths, but Philip is out of sync with the real world. When he reunites with his ex-girlfriend after his hospital stay, he tries to recreate their first vacation in Paris, dressing and posing her like she was then, as in Hitchcock's Vertigo. But the soundtrack almost never matches the images. The words are behind or ahead. It's a little arty, but like the great scene in Annie Hall, where subtitles spell out the awkward subtext, Reprise's cinematic gimmicks, its very syntax, springs straight from the character's unconscious. Reprise features a Salinger-like author, whom Eric reveres, who had huge success but became a recluse. The writer praises Eric's novel, but adds he didn't like the last part. He says, "Don't try to be poetic." Trier himself takes that old novelist's advice. He tackles poetic themes, like chance versus determinism, but they're not what keep you watching breathlessly. What's liberating about this film isn't so much the content, it's the voice of a young artist, both disciplined and unfettered. You'll come out humming the syntax.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.